want you to know, my friend, that what God is saying to you is that this is not maybe, this is not some hocus pocus. God is saying, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has brought you into unsearchable riches. You know, it's like going into one room and you're just blown away with all the stuff that's in that room. You're like, whoa!
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Brian Grant explained what is meant by a divine mystery, and in particular, how that term mystery applied in a special way to the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ prior to its revelation in the book of the Acts. We learned that God will one day fulfill the covenant promises we read about in the Old Testament to His chosen people, the Jews. But we also learned that with the coming of the church, the game-changing gospel of Jesus Christ unlocked the mysteries of God's blessings in ways that could not have previously been imagined. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, as Pastor Grant brings the second part of this message entitled, God's Hidden Mystery. Here's Pastor Grant.
Some things are mysterious because we have never been exposed to them before. But today's text introduces us to a mystery which God had hidden from everyone in previous generations. We're speaking today on the message title, God's Hidden Mystery. If you remember, we spoke about the conversion of the Roman centurion Cornelius. And what an amazing story of grace that was, and the extent to which God will go to reach a seeking sinner. What a story that was. God was doing something brand new, but they were still stuck in the old paradigm. So let's talk about this hidden mystery. What was God's hidden mystery? What was God's hidden mystery? A mystery in this biblical sense does not mean something mysterious or puzzling. The word mystery, as used, means something that has not previously been made known. So I want us this morning, in order to understand Acts chapter 11, it is important that we understand what was it that was hidden. The church was hidden from previous generation. Number two, the gospel unlocks the blessing. Verse 6 says, this mystery is that through the gospel is a game changer. Never run away from this word, the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 explains for us what this gospel is, that Jesus Christ died, He was buried, and that He rose again. He died for our sin, and I'm so glad He died in my place. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But number three, the blessing of this mystery includes the unsearchable riches of Christ. We didn't read that far, but read verse number 8 if you don't mind. It says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable riches of Christ. So just say that phrase with me. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, I've quoted those words over and over again, but this week they really struck my attention. What an amazing phrase. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody. You might be a Christian and your gas needle is on E. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about my story from last week. I'm talking about where you feel like things just aren't going your way and life just doesn't seem to be working out and you're so discouraged. And this morning, God wants you, there is a word from heaven for you. He wants to remind you that when you come to Christ, you have come into unsearchable riches. You say, Brother Brian, I just don't feel like it. You know, this morning I woke up with this thing in my mind and I said, you know, suppose a couple, guy lost his job, they were going to lose their home, their car, everything was going bad. And then suddenly he found out that his granddad had left a trust for him. And that he got into the benefit of that somehow they had difficulty communicating with him. They finally found him. There was a trust with $10 million waiting for him. Once he got to 21, he had lost contact and nobody was able to tell him. Now he is at the bottom of the ladder. He's losing everything and he suddenly finds out he has $21 million. How would you feel? I have a feeling you would not say, I don't feel like I'm okay. I have a feeling there would be some rejoicing. And I want you to know, my friend, that what God is saying to you is that this is not maybe. This is not some hocus pocus. God is saying, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has brought you into unsearchable riches. You know, it's like going into one room and you're just blown away with all the stuff that's in that room. You're like, whoa. And after you have gone through all that room and you thought that's all there was, you suddenly realize there's a passage and there's another room with even more than the first room. And after you have gone there and you spend the whole day going from room to room, and at the end of the day, you're realizing, my goodness, there's still more. You know, the Greek word that's used for unsearchable means it cannot be tracked. That's what the Greek means. It cannot be tracked. You cannot track the untrackable. You cannot trace the untraceable. You cannot limit the unlimitable. And what God is saying to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can make it. Lift up your head. Believer in Jesus Christ, lift up your head. He is not going to let you down. One said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And my God is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Cheer up! It's time we stop having so many sad sack Christians that always makes it seem like their God has lost control. Like everything is spinning out of control and God is not in charge. My God is still in charge. And I have submitted my life to him. I challenge you. Submit your life to him. Submit your life to him. Give him everything. Put yourself in his hand, the one who has unsearchable riches. Oh, I thank God that Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, 18 and 19. He told them his prayer for them was that they may have power to grasp how wide and long and high. Don't get this. He wants them to grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And after he had finished saying that, he says, I want you to grasp this. He says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. In other words, he's saying, try and know, but I want you to know, after you have dug and dug and dug, you will find that the love of Christ is beyond your ability to dig. It surpasses knowledge. It's like the unsearchable riches. It's unsearchable riches and it's unsearchable love. It never, ever ends. Aren't you thanking God for Jesus? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad he's your master? and he's your king, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But I better move on. I'm going to run into time problem. Let me bring the fulfillment of the mystery. So number one, we had to try to understand life under the old covenant. Now you understand what the mystery is. And the mystery is that God was actually going to build a church and join the Gentiles and the Jews. The circumcision was going to be joined with the uncircumcision. The fulfillment of the mystery began in Cornelius' house. A group of uncircumcised Gentiles were miraculously saved and brought into the church. Jews and Gentiles were now united. God had started something brand new. Not even Peter knew what was going to happen. In fact, those of you who were here last week, you remember that Peter had to get a special vision to get him moving, because he wasn't going to know Gentiles' house. It's interesting that of all the apostles, the Lord chose Peter to send to Cornelius' house. You ever stop to think of it? You see, of all the people who would have been able to convince the other Jews that the Gentiles were really for real, Peter was the best choice. You say, why? Because Peter was known to be a hardliner. Peter was known to be a hardliner when it came to matters of dealing with Gentiles. In fact, even after this incredible experience, if you go on and you read in Ephesians chapter 2, you find in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2 that Peter slipped back. And here's Peter was, I think it was at Ephesus, and Peter heard that some Christians were coming from Jerusalem. And so Peter decided he didn't want to have anything to do with Gentiles. So the Bible says Peter separated himself from the Gentiles. Old habits die hard, don't they? That's why we sometimes have to be still patient with each other, you know. Peter, he was still not wanting to hang with the Gentiles. And the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, I had to rebuke him to his face. So everybody knew about this Peter, that he was a hardliner. He was not. So God chose Peter. And so Peter was able to tell them blow by blow what had happened, how he was in Joppa and he saw this vision and this sheet came down from heaven and it had all these four-footed animals, all these unclean animals were in the sheet. And there was a voice that said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And all the pork and all this, some of this shellfish that he's not supposed to eat, everything was in there. And Peter said, no, I don't eat this unclean stuff. And there was a voice from heaven said, Peter, what God has cleansed, you better not call common or unclean. And of course, Peter, one time was not enough for this hardliner. You realize that? So God had to do it one more time. And one more time, he had to have the vision three times before the Spirit of God figured it was enough because he was such a tough cookie. And then he said, there was a knock on the door and the Spirit of God says, go with them. And so he went.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as four Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
As Peter tells this story, and you turn your Bibles back to Acts of the Apostles chapter 11, there was a clincher that convinced them that God was at work with the Gentiles. There was something he said to help the people, these critics. And in verse 15 of chapter 11 of the book Acts of the Apostles, Peter says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. Listen, what was this? The Holy Spirit came on the Gentiles. Don't miss this. The clincher was that the Holy Spirit came on the Gentiles. Notice, don't miss that the Holy Spirit is a person. It refers to him as he. But secondly, how did they know, how did Peter know that the Holy Spirit did in fact come on the Gentiles? Let's turn the page back to chapter 10 to see what happened. And in chapter 10, verses 45 and 46, the circumcised believers, those are the Jews, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So how did they know? Because the gift of tongues was also given to these Gentiles, just as it had happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So let me ask you, does this mean that every time somebody comes to Christ, they should speak in tongues? Now, don't let anybody confuse you. There are people running around trying to get us to believe that every time somebody comes to Christ, they ought to speak in tongues. And they said, some will tell you that every new believer must speak in tongues, and then others will tell you that you cannot be filled with the Spirit unless you speak with tongues. But the Bible teaches no such thing. Did you know? Let me just say this as I move along. The book of Acts is full of actions of the Holy Spirit. Scores of people were healed in the Acts of the Apostles. Numerous miracles are recorded in the book of the Acts. Thousands of people received Christ. But only three times in the entire book of Acts do we have reference to people speaking in tongues. Don't miss that. When someone tells you that you should speak in tongues because of whatever, please point out to them three times in the book of Acts. Now, tongues did have a very important role. And here it is. Tongues confirmed. Don't miss this. Tongues confirmed the unity of the church. Tongues, God miraculously used the gift of tongues to help to show what he was up to. I don't want you to miss that in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 3 was the first reference to tongues. And then it was only the Jewish Christians who spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. I don't want you to miss the second occurrence of tongues in Acts of the Apostles chapter 10 verse 46. Where it was only the Gentile Christians who spoke in tongues. And in fact, had God not caused the Gentiles to speak in tongues, the Jews would never have accepted them as part of the church. Amen? God allowed them to speak in tongues so that the Jews would realize that the very thing that had happened to the Jews was now happening to the Gentiles, that in fact he was bringing them all together. The third occurrence of tongues is in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7, where we find a fringe group, the disciples of John the Baptist. These were the followers of John the Baptist. And when the apostle met with them, and asked them, had they received the Holy Spirit? They said, we have never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So the apostle preached Christ to them, and they received Christ. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says they spoke in tongues. Isn't that interesting? This fringe group, this group who were the followers of John the Baptist, are now being brought in as God makes it clear that he has formed one church. Everybody is in the one church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we are slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a part of this church. How about you? Don't miss that part, though. It's not only about Jew and Gentile. It's interesting, it covers social classes, whether you're slave or free. And I'm so glad that we have a church that is made up of people of different races, different ethnicities, different economic circumstances, different economic brackets. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to meld us all into this one body of Christ. God's hidden mystery has been revealed. As a result, we Gentiles are no longer aliens and strangers. Listen, I don't have to carry. When I just came to this country, I had to carry what's called a green card. A green card is what's known as an alien registration card. But I wanted to know, I don't carry a green card. I'm an American now. But guess what? There was a time we Gentiles had to carry an alien card. We were strangers and foreigners. But Gus, I am here to tell you, I have a legitimate passport to heaven. And I want you to know that the passport I am carrying has no expiration date. I want you to know that my passport cannot be lost. And I want you to know that my passport cannot be revoked. Nothing but nothing can stop me from getting into heaven. And I want you to know, even the price for my ticket has been paid. Jesus paid it all. That's why this morning, if you don't mind, I've gotten a little excited, because I'm excited for what the Lord has done for me. He took me. Man, I don't have to be like what Ephesians describes there. I don't have to be hiding, trying to look over the temple gate because I'm some outcast. I'm ending with a story that just popped into my mind. This week, the Philadelphia Tribune showed a picture of this lady in Raleigh, South Carolina. When she was a teenager, she had wanted to go to join the library, and they prevented her from joining the library. And now, 70 years later, she went and joined the library. I was excited, but I wonder why she waited 70 years. Oh, I know there was a time that she couldn't join. But my goodness, it's been a long time now since she could join. You know, there was a time you couldn't make it. But you can make it now. What have you been waiting on? You going to try to wait 70 years? My Bible says, come now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Young lady, young man, now. There was a time we were shut out. But I am so glad those days are over. I got the passport. Do you have your passport? Do you have a passport for heaven? Are you sure you're going? If you're not sure, make sure right now. We're praying that you will say, God, I want to receive. I want to get rid of my alien card. Give me my passport.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.